This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not my money. I would actually try to find him and call him an idiot for that, because you just can't do that. I mean, your life is in a... professionally in a very tough place right now, my God. I mean, the last time we saw you, you were getting carted off and you were in tears. They signed you to the contract, collect every dime you should be entitled to. I can't acknowledge that and say that that's a good thing. I'm going to leave the innocent out of it, even though they said it publicly. I guess there's a way you could do this where it's like, hey, he's our third string emergency backup quarterback, and he will remain that way. Jed Wills is still on the roster. Does anybody intend to see Jed Wills for the rest of the year? No. Absolutely not. They went out and they got Garen Christian, and you also have Jermaine Ifedi, and I think that that's what they're going to do.
And as many injuries that happen on the offensive line in the final however many games, they'll just find enough guys to match the number of injuries.
I think they're going to go out and find other guys. I don't know. Maybe John is up to something coming up later this year. I'm not sure. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, because we got six games left to go. So, I mean, you can keep a guy on a roster. Now, I don't know if you can keep a guy on a roster for two full years, but you can do a hell of a lot of different things with an NFL roster if you wanted to do something like that. Or at least until it gets to a point where it's like, hey, we can take the hit now. Let's just move on, and everybody moves on from this, because it does seem to be so big. Some people have mentioned Russell Wilson and his situation, but that's certainly a conversation for another day. But what I'm seeing, and some of this is basking in the Everglow of last night. I mean, I saw a man who was beloved by fans in Maple Heights, Ohio yesterday, right there with my very own eyes. It was an infectious thing to see, that people just gravitated towards Jameis. Now, that's the fan base. I'm looking at him as a quarterback as well, going, hey, you know what? You're going to get your good, you're going to get your bad. Is there a scenario where you draft a guy? We could talk about draft another time. Is there a scenario where I can just go into this season with Jameis Winston? I think there's a scenario where, hey, I've tried to compete with worse. I don't think it's job one, but I think I've tried to compete with worse. And I would have a situation where, yeah, maybe Jameis starts off the year as the starting quarterback, and Deshaun's back in that room somewhere, but I'm not starting the season with him. We're not going to do this again. The quote-unquote competition, that's out the window. They'll call it, I think they'll call it a competition. There's no such thing as a competition here. There's no such thing.
Well, I don't even know how in a million years Deshaun Watson could win a competition against somebody like Jameis. Like, how? We just saw... over the last few years.
You mean physically?
And he's coming off an Achilles injury now. And
it's been two straight years of serious injuries.
Yeah, that's part of it, too. Plus the mental stuff. We know that Deshaun has, the mental stuff has taken a toll. He's not the same guy.
You see this, and remember, you hear what guys say. You go back and listen to some of these clips. When we play some of these players' clips, it's easy to tune out because they all kind of drone on and they all kind of sound the same. Me talking about other people droning on. But they all try to make it sound the same and make it sound vanilla. You listen when you hear some of the offensive linemen. Hey, what's it like to block for Jameis? Well, they know where he's going to be. And I think that there were times where Deshaun was running himself into sacks. I think there were times where... I'm not making an excuse for the offensive line play. I think the offensive line play has not been great this year, to say the least. But I also believe that there were times in the third quarter where he was running himself into sacks and having problems this year. And I think that that's a mental situation, and I don't know what you do with that. I can't help him with that. I can only wait for other people to help him. That might take the rest of his life, for all we know, for something like that to happen. I got football games I got to win for the rest of this year. I got football games I got to try to win next year. It's out of the way this year. Next year, I do have to try to seriously compete. I just can't keep giving mulligans all the time
guys. You have to figure out what the future is at that position. So, and that's the only bad thing about if it's Jameis next year. Even if Jameis finishes the season strong, I think we all know he's not the future. Just like Sam Darnold's not the future with the Minnesota Vikings. They drafted somebody else to be the future. Like, I think that is the one issue with bringing back Jameis. Even if he finishes well and they beat Kansas City and Baltimore, we're going to be feeling great about Jameis and Stefanski and the Browns offense going into next year.
I'll tell you what.
But it still probably isn't fixed.
I may, at this juncture, I'm going to get to this Peterlin comment here in a second, then I'm going to get to you guys, 216-474-0092. I'm more willing to have a quote-unquote competition with Jameis Winston and quarterback X or Jameis Winston and DTR before I'm willing to have a competition with Deshaun Watson and anything else. Now, I know that that's not what they're going to say. That's not what they're going to do, because you want to have a buy-in because things could go off the rails. But they're 6 years into this, guys. Teams that go into a season, you've seen so many inept organizations with this team wearing orange and brown before over the last 25 years that have had quote-unquote quarterback competitions. What's been the main demeanor? The coaches didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were in over their heads. You cannot, in 6 years, in year six, allow yourself to be in over your head. Here is Afternoon Drive talking about the quote-unquote competition yesterday.
I think they need to lock into the idea that Deshaun is, he might have to play the role as backup. Like, he might have to play that role, but Deshaun is not going to, he's not going to be in any sort of real competition here. Deshaun's not your quarterback. You can't rely on him. He's too injury prone.
But I think even if you do this as a surface level thing, meaning it's really Jameis or insert veteran quarterback here against rookie, and this is just an optic thing for Deshaun, I think it's the worst. I think you're taking a needless PR hit. I really do. I think unless you seriously intend to let Deshaun compete for a job, there's no business in taking that negative PR hit. Because every time the quarterback controversy is mentioned with him, it is going to piss fans off.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't agree with Nick. I know where he's coming from there. I agree with both of them. I see where they're both coming from there. You're going to have – he's just not going to win the competition. He's just not going to win it.
If it's a fair competition.
It's not fair. I mean, everything you're saying about him. You know how he plays. They can't be stupid. There's no competition he's going to realistically win.
Last year, down in West Virginia, had people that were there every day.
Saying,
oh my God. Jameis is so much better than Deshaun. Like, Deshaun, they can't even run an offense. That was down there. What do you think it would be a year from now? So if it was really fair competition, he's not going to win it. So there's no point in having it.
But at this juncture, it shouldn't be a fair competition.
You're just wasting time.
Yeah. Usually we've had these quote-unquote competitions where it's like, yeah, we're going to prop up a competition, and Deshaun's going to win it, or the previous starter's going to win it, and it'll build up his confidence. Nope. Nah. Mm-mm. If it's fair, if it's unfair, you're not going to do that. I don't need to rush him back. I don't need to rush him back out on the field. If I'm even trying to be fair personally, if I'm coaching the Browns, hey, you can be a backup, and then we'll see where it goes, because you need time to be on a sideline and see this game where it's coming from you. We have tried to rush you into action, and it's just not going to work anymore. Let's go to Michael in Bristol. By God, Virginia. You're listening on the Free Odyssey app. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Michael. Go ahead.
So I would rather walk through a mile of glass than Deshaun be the starter next year, because we've seen two examples of him getting hurt and then another quarterback coming in and performing exceedingly better.
I think that this, if I have to work with keeping Deshaun Watson, right, Michael? All right, it's a huge cap hit, so I understand. It's like, hey, he ain't going anywhere. You got to figure it out. I'd be more than willing to say, hey, you're a backup, or you're the backup's backup. You're the third string emergency quarterback, and give you some time to stand on the sideline and see where it is. And I don't think that he should be above that anymore. I don't think it's an ego hit anymore. We saw the way you play. If we're talking about ego hits, I can put together an entire highlight reel of lowlights of what he's done for his time with the Cleveland Browns. I think it might serve him better if we are actually going to try to even come close to the word resurrect here, Michael, I think it would serve him better to just, hey, stand on the sidelines, let the game come to you, see where the offense is, and then maybe if we have to, put you back out. But I don't think I would put him back out here at this point, Michael. Thank you very much and have a good Thanksgiving. Sherilyn Maslin, you got to go quick. Go.
I have one last chance with Deshaun. Why can't Jimmy Haslam pay him off, and why can't he retire? Because if he retires, gets all his money, he can always come back in a year or two if he really wants to. Why can't he just retire?
Well,
that's stupid.
You can't do that. No, well, one, you're still on the hook because of the cap hit. Two, I think even if you retire, it basically like freezes your contract or freezes your rights. So even if he were even if he were to retire, like, you would still need a release.
But when other guys retire, don't they get off the cap hit if they're paid
those
off?
Those teams release them, though.
Yeah, but those teams have to be released. Like, yeah, there would be There would be some release. No, I'd have to go back and look at the line. And thank you very much for the call, Cheryl. I have to go back and look at the rules.
That changes the cap hit money, though, but once you release a guy.
It would, but, I mean, you're still going to get what you're entitled to. It's half the reason why a lot of injured guys come back and at least go through training camp, because you got to get your guarantee when you're coming back. So there's plenty of guys every year, they are not physically really fit to play football. They're physically fit to pass a physical, but they're not ready to play football. And they'll go through it just to try to stay on a roster to try to get that guaranteed cash if they are still entitled to it. He has every right, as much as you may not like to hear it, he has every right to continue being an employee with a guaranteed contract as an NFL football player. Or a 1099 contractor if you want to go down that road, but it's not really that way. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we go around the AFC North. Guys, up next, Ty Jerome might actually be playing too well. It is the show of dumb teases and dumb statements, but this is actually true. Coming up next on The Fan.
So he would have way more production, and even if his numbers came down to like 42%, he'd still be a big-time starting guard on a lot of teams in this league.
So you want me to make a choice on who can go?
No, I was kind of, just in terms of a fun exercise, like how valuable do you think he really is?
Oh, so
like,
is he a part of the core five?
Do you think he could, like, let's say he was the starting point guard for the Cavs, because we talk so much about Darius. Darius has been fantastic. He's been an all-star. Really, he's played an all-NBA level this year. He's had one bad game. What's the one bad game everyone knows?
Boston.
Well, Ty Jerome's 6'5". He's not going to be as bothered as much by the big guard. So I already saw it. I already saw it in my mentions, because people know I've been hard on Darius Garland. They're like, I'd rather have Ty Jerome as the starting guard.
If he's a six man, can he be a part of a core five? We're just asking questions.
It's only happened like Manu Ginobili with
it has happened
with the Spurs, and then Iggy. Iggy was a bench player.
Right,
I know they would go small ball, and only
he'll
because
make the Hall of Fame as a bench player.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean,
well,
yeah.
Iggy wasn't always a bench player in his career.
The Philadelphia years.
State Warrior, yeah.
Until they went small ball and they retooled it, obviously. But yeah, Ty Jerome playing this well. And I saw a list the other day of best six man or guys with the best opportunity to win six man of the year, and he wasn't on the list. I'm like, what? Do you understand how insane what he's doing? And then he's had these heat check games. That's the other thing. Because they've had a few injuries or some load management or whatever. I mean, that Pelicans game, 7-12 from three. Toronto, 4-8 from three. 4-7 against Charlotte. Those are three of his last four games.
These are really good games.
I think some people, even though you and I both said we love the fact that Darius kept shooting during the Celtics loss, we love that Atkinson was like, no, confidence. You're going to have bad games. It's okay. You could make the argument that maybe Darius needed to sit in that game and more Ty Jerome, maybe he'd still be undefeated.
Well, if he's shooting 52%.
Yeah, because he didn't shoot any threes in that game. He only took five shots.
Don't say that, because people are going to use that against Darius Garland at the bar tonight, that's not going to be fun.
He's got a game.
I'm not. Yes.
Well, not against Darius at the bar. Yeah, I mean, an argument.
Darius
not
is
like
at
they're
your
gonna
bar
actually,
tonight.
Yeah.
I tell. Let us know on social media. I think everybody would want to be there all of a sudden.
Is he much of a drinker?
I don't. You know,
I mean, I'm not into his personal life, but you understand.
I have to say, all these Cavs, like, where NBA players are famous and they're out and about. James Harden's famous for the types of clubs he goes to. Are any of these current Cavs, not Tristan, Not, you know, we know Tristan.
He's currently on.
We've seen him on some surveillance video. Yeah. We've seen him on some surveillance video. Parts.
Easy.
Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell.
In the way that there was, and I know they weren't guys that you were leaning on every night, but Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye, there was a bar in Westlake that I know they were at every night. It's on Dover.
I think I know which one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, you don't see these guys. Like, they're almost, they're so young, it's not that they can't drink. I mean, Evan Mobley is now able
to
sow his oats a little bit.
And drive through, get a 12 or a Bush Light if he wanted to.
I love this guy.
They all game now.
I love that's
all,
this that's all they do.
They also, all, just to update.
It's a different life.
Lynn's sanity was a stretch between February 4th and February 19th. It was seven games.
That's
he
it?
He averaged 25 points a game.
That's it?
9.2 assists. And, yeah, I mean, he was 38 minutes a game, shooting 50% from the field.
That was certainly a time in NBA history.
He's got nothing on Ty Jerome right now.
And only 33% from three.
And if it's double of what Lynn's sanity was, then, man, maybe he should be in a core five. Maybe he should be in that.
I just can't believe.
Leaves us a tough decision later on in life, but I don't want to worry about that now. I'll worry about that then. I didn't realize how tough that was. You've exposed something that people are going to have to keep in the back of their minds.
Well, it's obviously a great problem to have.
No, of course it's a great problem to have. Hell, I never know if we were going to ever see him in a Cavs uniform during last year.
I think people were wondering about his long-term, if he could stick in the NBA with the injury issues that he's had. He clearly worked his ass off.
Of course, yes.
While he was on the mend.
Yes.
And it is awesome to see. I mean, it is. When I use the term revelation, even the Cavs cannot, in their wildest dreams, say, yeah, we're going to get Ty Jerome back, and he's going to be this good. No way.
Mm-mm.
No way. I mean, they were bringing double teams the other night to get the ball out of his hands. He was so good.
Coming up at 8 o'clock around the AFC North, is just winning against Michigan enough? We got a game coming up on Saturday. Doug LaMaurice joins us at 9. Is just winning it. It's a 20-point spread. Last time I saw, probably 20 and a half, is from what I'm guessing with some books. Is just beating Michigan enough, or do you have to rub their nose in it? Be honest with each other here. It's a rivalry game. Lima, you have worried everybody about the defensive line of the Michigan Wolverines, which I would probably agree with you on that. You know, you throw the records out the window. It's still been a game that's usually been played tight. There have been a blowout here and there, but it's usually a game that's played very tight between these teams. Is just beating Michigan enough? Or do you have to take out 3 years of frustration against the Michigan Wolverines? Like, will there be people, the reason I'm asking, will there be people who call in Monday if they win 17-14? And we're on our way to the, on your way to the Big Ten championship game. There's no we here, I apologize. You guys are on your way to the Big Ten championship game. If you win 17-14, will there actually be people calling and goes, should have beat him by more?
I know.
Like, I can't just move a goalpost. You want him to win, you win.
But it'll be twofold. Thank God. Thank God Ryan Day ended the streak. This will be how I think I would approach it.
Okay.
Thank God he ended the streak. That's a big step forward for Ryan Day. That's getting the monkey off his back a little bit. Remember, he does have a win over Michigan. This seems like a long time ago now.
I think a lot of people
they don't remember.
They forgot it happened.
Well, they just in a lot of ways he was given no credit for that. It was like this is Urban's. Well. This is totally
like
Urban's
Barry Switzer
team.
With the Cowboys.
Yeah, felt like Urban was still coaching the team at that point. So I think that's part of it. Boy, that's a great. You're exactly right with the Barry Switzer thing. That is 100% accurate. So he has beaten them, but it'll feel like the monkey's off his back. But if they only beat this version of Michigan by 3 points, I think a lot of people are gonna. Maybe me will say they can't win a national championship.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think on Monday, if they beat Michigan, and I think they're going to beat Michigan, I think this is the year, and I really do think they're probably going to win by, I think they'll win by like 10. I would say that Michigan covers the number. You got to play with some pride. If Sherrone Moore does anything well, I don't know. I don't know what he does well. He was handed a Cadillac of a football team. I'm not trying to be demeaning towards him. I don't know yet. But I know he's an emotional person. I think we could all tell that. I think they'll play with emotion, and I think they'll play tough, and I think they'll fight Ohio State. I don't think they'll win. I think Ohio State will win this football game. I think they will play with emotion. They will play tough. They're the better, more talented football team, even with the injuries, and they're going to win this game. I don't think it's going to be super tight, super scary, but I think that Ohio State will win this game by 9 or 10, something like that. I don't think we get those calls until or if they lose in the playoff. If they were to lose the next week again to Oregon, like, they'll go to the playoffs still. They'll be fine. But if they lose in the playoff, I think then you'll get that, well, we were only able to beat Michigan by 3 points, and then we lost to Texas, or God, I'm just making it up, God knows who. Like, that's when I think you'll get it, because it's almost such an impossible job, and this is what comes with the job. This is what you sign up for. For Ryan Day, nothing's going to be good enough until it's a national championship. Those are the stakes. That's what you've been handed. And what you've also been handed, even though that you are one of the programs that can't afford a roster that it's rumored to be $20 million, you are also given the stakes and the pressure to have one of those programs are able to do that. And the worst problem about it is that other teams are able to do it to some degree, and that NIL has changed how deep your football team is. So you can't just take guys and replace them and automatically be 10 times better than a lot of the opponents you're playing against. You know, your offensive line has gone through a lot of unfortunate incidents, in which I haven't seen an offensive line have injuries like this since the Browns. I mean, all year long, yeah, they've had to go with these guys. So now it becomes different for you, where you have to mind your P's and Q's and play with these guys a little differently, because you don't have the depth that you once had in years past before NIL. You don't have that. That's something that Urban Meyer never really had to deal with.
That's
that
a good
Ryan
point.
Day has to deal with here. So I'll make that defense during the college football playoff for Ryan Day. Hold me to it, unless they just go out and look listless against one of these teams. But I'm telling you, if you lose one of these playoff games, I think that that's something that sits dormant in the back of someone's mind. You're an emotional person when it comes to the Buckeyes. I think it might even come out of your mouth.
His own, Ryan Day's, his contemporaries, or the guys that were there right before him. I mean, Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel both said this is the most talented Ohio State roster they had ever seen.
Yes.
Now,
that's a hell of a lot of pressure.
I bet Ryan Day didn't love that those guys said that.
I wouldn't.
But, you know, those guys have national championships. Those guys won at the highest level. And, yeah, that's some pressure on Ryan Day. And you could tell. I mean, he is walking around. You cannot accuse, for all the things I say about Ryan Day, can't accuse him of not understanding how big this game is, because he has put it all out there in the past week. And I wonder, if that game is close in the fourth quarter, what kind of Ryan Day are we going to see? Because I haven't loved what we have seen the last few years.
You got to go for the gusto.
In some big-time moments.
You got to go for the gusto.
He has puckered up. Will he do that again? If this Michigan team and that quarterback, who I think he's started 8 games for Michigan, clearly this isn't Michigan of last year. They're 20-point dogs. It's at Ohio State. It's going to be cold.
He is not
at Ohio State.
He is not a Big Ten starting quality quarterback. I would take Michigan much more seriously if Curtis Rourke was on that football team.
Yeah, boy, that's a good point.
And they stoned him out last week. Coming up next, we go around the AFC North at 8 o'clock. But up next, I remember it being too late to call a friend's house. If you're of a certain age, you might remember that. Now, I might have to understand what's too early. Let's fix my life next on the...
So, you wanted to make sure to give Doug LaMaurice a heads up on something else. We're talking to Doug today. Very excited about having Doug on, and I'm very curious to see what he thinks about not only the Michigan game, but the playoff field, and whether he is loving this right now. But we're going to have him on at 9. And you texted him at what time this morning, Kenny?
Hold on, let me look.
In the 3 o'clock hour,
I
presume?
No, it wasn't that early.
Okay, 4 o'clock hour?
It's 5 a.m. exactly.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's not as bad, but...
What's the earliest text I sent this morning?
Yeah, I don't know Doug's home life and his situation.
But my buddy named DeLuch, that was 3:20 this morning. the guy from Akron, 3:21 this morning. You at 3:20 this morning, but you don't count.
Yeah. So I did see that. I did see that pretty early before I tried to go back to bed. Mm. So that is interesting.
Because Akron won last night. That's why I texted.
Heck yeah, they did.
They won. They beat Toledo.
We had that in about last night. Use your Odyssey app.
Boom.
So I found that very interesting. And I start asking around. I go, Owen, do you ever text anybody that early? Because my nervousness always is that they don't do the same do not disturb that I have. There's only two people in the world that can break through. I should probably add my sister and make it 3. That can break through my sleep based on the do not disturb stipulations.
I'm not one of them.
You are not one of them. Because this is what I feared, is that Kenny, I cannot responsibly... I can't trust you.
You don't want a goofy video from Ken at
2:58.
No, he just doesn't want to be texted at that hour at all.
To pierce through and wake me up.
Yeah.
My wife, if need be, if for whatever reason she wasn't with me, I would need that. And Owen. And the reason I have Owen there is...
Owen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is if I need to be woken up if for some reason I missed my alarm.
Because Anthony knows if I'm trying to get a hold of him at that time of the day... It's business only. We aren't having one of those.
So
good
I asked you.
All right, that's fair.
You weren't worried at all that that text might wake up Doug at 5 a.m.
Didn't cross my mind. I just assumed he had it on do not disturb.
Which a lot of people do. I mean, there's no doubt a lot of people do. I mean, I've texted people at like 10 o'clock at night, and it's right. It immediately says, "What's the?" It's like
it says they have notifications. Off.
Yeah, something like that.
And then it asks, "Do you want to notify him anyway?" And then you press it. And it like dances on the screen.
Well, now you're playing God. And that
I have to do it with my teenage children who think they don't need their fathers.
That's okay.
Oh,
yeah.
There will be harsh consequences in the Carmen house. But either way, this is not about them. This is about me. You're saying that I should understand that I should be better than this.
I just think some people.
What's the earliest I can text people then?
Yeah, if you text people, I think there are some people where that could potentially wake them up.
It's just like, top of mind.
Where it's not one of your normal texters, right?
I don't text Doug a lot.
You text a ton of people, but.
Yeah, I do.
Like your normal texters would be anyone at this station, well, anyone involved with the show, right? Anyone that you have a friendly group thread going on with. I'd say other than that, you know, you're the people you consider your best friends. Those are the ones that are not family or
business.
Yeah, but
even them might be bothered by it. So what's your list I can text somebody?
I think it's got to be 7 a.m.
7? No, yeah. That's way too late. There's business to be taken care of.
Well, if it's a business text, then 6.
Man, 7 seems legit.
What are you doing with the rest of your day?
What is the reason that you need to get a hold of somebody that is not... not somebody who you always text.
So I will tell you.
Any earlier than 7 a.m.
I help run a local youth wrestling organization.
You do.
And we discuss business things. I will not text those guys on there. We've got till the afternoon to make an answer on this. I'm not texting those guys at 7 in the morning.
Well,
until 7 in the morning.
He's the head coach.
Because if they're up at that time, they're generally getting ready for their busy days and their busy lives.
He's not the president yet, but I don't want to influence the election, so I can't say it yet.
Of course, you got a running mate. But.
Yeah, is he going on the Rogan podcast? That'll put him past the...
I think he'd probably love to be on the Rogan podcast, to be honest with you. Anyway, he runs a business, so I assume he's up when I go to text him at 5 a.m. He runs a business.
You know what happens?
He's a
when
contractor.
You assume, don't you, kid?
I make an ass out of him.
The only people
you need
that,
to be up.
Me,
the
right.
only people I will text that early is the people that know my schedule and know that will send me a text at 10:58 at night. Where even if I'm still up, even if
you're not responding,
we're not having a correspondence.
You don't want
at
to back
time.
And forth.
So they will get that 3:30 in the morning text just of my response. Just hey. No, that I thought you were too late. I'm going to be a little early.
Well, for me, business closes at 8. That's when the thing goes off.
Yeah, I'm a 7 to 7 guy, I think. Before 7, after 7.
Depends if I'm drinking. Right. If I'm drinking, I'm open for business.
Now, there is differences.
I'm ready to text.
People know if it's Thursday night, getting texted at 11:30.
I'm a lot more different than you. When I'm drinking, the phone goes away. I put the phone and the guns away. It probably goes to the
They're
same
place. Weapons.
Probably for the better. Yeah. Some of my best tweets have come, and my worst tweets have come after 10 p.m.
Okay, fine. It's top of mind. So if I send it, I think if I don't send it then, I'm going to forget. And then because we got Doug on at 9. I wanted to remind Doug of something I'm going to ask. And I wanted him to be prepared for it, and I didn't want to be sitting there at 8:57 going, oh my God, I forgot to text Doug before Doug comes on at 9. That's what I was trying to avoid. So I guess we got to ask, I don't want to lead the interview with Doug at 9 o'clock with, but I'll ask him coming up at 9 o'clock, all right? I'll ask him, what's the earliest I can text somebody outside of our circle? I might ask Bob, these are not morning guys. I mean, it's Bob Haney, Mo Egger, and Chris Mueller coming up. Maybe I can ask them.
What if you text the guy at 5 a.m. about a work thing, but you could have just asked him in person yesterday at 11?
I put Hody's mic on, but I don't want to put Hody's mic on. That's what he should have done,
especially our boss. Hody has no idea, does he? That he's being targeted.
I already
there.
Texted Mo, Chris, and Bob, and I've not heard back from one of them.
Hody has no idea right now.
Off it goes.
Aw, man.
Off. Yeah, and that's why. All right, coming up at 9 o'clock, Doug LeMaurice is going to join us on the show. He is the host of Kings of the North on YouTube. You've read him in the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com for some time. He's one of the authorities when it comes to Ohio State football, and he's a big friend of ours and fan of ours, and we're fans of him, and that's why we're joining him. Or he's joining us at 9 o'clock. Up next, Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore on a big name joining the Ravens mid-season. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, where are they still trying to salvage their season, or are they going to go quietly into the Ohio River? And Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Did the Browns expose the Steelers for the rest of the league, or is Mike Tomlin just blaming things on the refs not seeing George Pickens being pulled out of the end zone? That's the way they're saying it in Pittsburgh. It's all coming up during Around the AFC North next on The Fan.